My 8th grade science teacher, Mr. Sweeney, that's his real name, was a little bit crazy. He specialized in weird science, the art of the gross out, and occasionally very bad cartoon character impressions. Oh, and did I mention that he also had a full set of dentures, which he would sometimes remove inexplicably in the middle of his lecture to complete the bad scientist effect. It's amazing I learned anything. About once a week or so, we would watch a film that would vividly portray the subject of the week. As I remember, he was especially fond of explosions. Now, one of the virtues of watching such things on a good old-fashioned reel-to-reel is that you can watch them forwards and backwards. Mr. Sweeney took great delight in watching these events in reverse, the undoing of nature. Sometimes we would toggle them back and forth and back and forth. And we would laugh hysterically as the film played backwards on the screen, as we watched things which had disintegrated suddenly coming back together. Buildings shaken to pieces by earthquakes rising again before our eyes. People who had been knocked to the ground suddenly springing back to life. That's the image that came to my mind as I read again the story of the raising of Lazarus, about God's power to run the film in reverse, to overcome the gravity of life, to address a problem in life you and I cannot solve. Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, you may recognize that name, the one-time guru of death and dying in our culture, once wrote these lines. She said, "Recognize the supreme secret. Death will one day take life from you." But that is not the problem addressed in the story from the Gospel of John. Kubler-Ross continues, "So while you are able, take the death from your life. Take the death from your life." Now that's the problem. But taking the death from our life is easier said than done. It is a truth amply witnessed to by shelf upon shelf of self-help books available in your local bookstore or online. Has it ever occurred to you that if any one of those books could really solve the problem, we would not need all the other ones that surround them on the shelves? Now, I don't mean that they are without value. Many have helpful insights into how we are to live our lives. Yet whether it is a book about the dynamics of codependence or addictive personalities or the seven spiritual laws of success, or meditative techniques for managing stress, regardless of how valuable all of these may be, there is a deeper problem that lies just beneath the surface of our lives with its power to draw us back and entomb us in destructive behavior. Like gravity, there is something in life which you and I simply cannot overcome or transcend, a problem that we cannot solve. For some, it reveals itself as despair, following a major loss in life, a loved one, a job, meaningful work, a sense of purpose. For others, it is being tied to a habit, an addiction, an obsession, a personal tie or broken relationship which continues to rob life of its joy. For some, it is a job which they confess is killing them, or a relationship in which they say they are dying. In both cases, those phrases may be more truth than metaphor, as research is continuing to show that stress can actually lead to great amounts of illness and disease. What is more troubling still, in some cases, people feel powerless to look for alternatives, some actually preferring to die rather than risk change. For others, it is a profound sense of meaninglessness spurred on by the news reports of senseless violence or the simple weariness with the empty rhetoric of politics served up on the nightly news in sound bites. We are constantly dealing with death in the midst of life. And while some would suggest that all of this will be worked out in the end, when we are finally freed from earth and with God in heaven, when we have entered life after death, that is not what John's story is about. The story from the Gospel of John is less about resurrection to eternal life after death than about resurrection in the midst of the graveyard we call life. The death that gets up and walks along through life with us every single day. The story of Lazarus is about God taking the death out of our lives. Out of despair, Mary and Martha call Jesus to come and to heal their brother, whose sickness has him on the verge of death. At first, Jesus does not respond, knowing that the miracle about to unfold is more profound than a simple healing of Lazarus. When he does arrive, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. Martha, running to meet Jesus, angrily confronts him. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Has that question ever sounded from your lips, or at least been spoken deep inside you? "Lord, if you had been here." It's the cry of all those who have been tormented by death in many of its myriad forms, who have raised their fist in anger at life, or at God, or at the doctor, or the counselor, or their spouse. It's the utter desperation of one who believes, but whose belief has been dashed. Martha gives voice to all of us who have ever thought that God didn't show up, or at least didn't show up in time to help. But her anger quickly turns to pleading, to which Jesus replies, "Your brother will rise again." Martha, sharing the Pharisees' belief in an ultimate resurrection, fails to see what Jesus means. And so Jesus responds with those well-known words, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Does she believe it? Of course she does. But that still doesn't solve her problem. She and her sister have lost not only a beloved brother, but also their entire livelihood and security. Martha's grief and that of her sister and friends, their sense of hopeless, helpless despair, moves Jesus as well. And he's more than moved. We read that he was deeply disturbed in spirit. The words "Jesus began to weep" are too tame for what the text really means. These are not simply the tears shed over the loss of a friend. Jesus is crying out with spontaneous eruption of sobs and tears too deep for words. The violence of it is reflected in the surprise of the onlookers, those whose own grieving is interrupted, yet they miss the more profound sense of outrage and confuse Jesus' tears as simply a sign of loss. But Jesus weeps, not because of his loss of Lazarus. He will do something about that very soon. He cries out in rage at the death which covers all of life, the gravity of life, the problem which is beyond all of our solving. His is the rage of protest over all the ways that our lives are consumed by death. So barely controlling his rage, Jesus orders the stone removed and commands that Lazarus, come forth. And come forth he does, wrapped head to foot in the strips of burial cloth. "Unbind him," says Jesus. "Unbind him and let him go." He is saying, "I am the one who can bring you life now. I alone can solve the problem. I can take the death away from your life." Martha had a faith in life beyond death, life after death. My guess is that many other people do too. But it was the death that pervaded her life which made her so desolate. The gift that Jesus offered her and her sister, offered her brother, was not about the future, but about the present, about the here and now. It's the same gift that he offers to you and to me. This story from the Gospel of John is not ultimately about the future. It's about the present. It's about Jesus' power to unbind us and let us go, to free us from those things which would entomb us here and now. The resurrection and life which he offers now. Living water which will never again leave us thirsty for life. Sight in a world which is otherwise blind to the ways God daily touches our lives. Power to love rather than to hate. Power to forgive when we cannot forget. That, and only that, can remove the death from our lives. In the midst of the constant struggle against death's reign in life, Jesus offers us himself and promises that those who welcome him, who make him Lord of their lives, find the film running in reverse. New life from deadly past. It is not an invitation to do the impossible, to transcend a problem we cannot solve. Rather, speaking our name, speaking my name, he calls each of us out of the caves that entomb us, whatever they may be. And those who come forth at his command discover the gift of his Spirit, which not only reverses the power of death, but which unbinds us and gives us new life today. Those who say yes to him come stepping out into life, discovering it is not a problem to be solved after all, but a gift to be lived out of God's power and Spirit. And for that we can say, thanks be to God.